develop our faith that it will be able to withstand the trials, uncertainties, disappointments, and the temptations of life. Job was right. Man born of a woman, a few days and he's full of trouble. Trouble is everywhere. Satan makes sure of that. And I know the world in which we live at this moment is shakable and movable. But we in the Lord's church are desirous of not being shaken by what we experience in life. The reality that I see this morning as we look at the second quarter, generation to generation. I don't know about you, but I find it interesting that nowhere else but in the church do all of the generations come together in one place to worship God in spirit and in truth. I am told that there are approximately 7 generations concurrently, simultaneously involved one with the other. 5 are very relevant. When you think in terms of these generations, some call from 1901 to somewhere close to 1920, the greatest generation. These are the individuals who tend to trust those in authority. They're very patriotic. Then there are the ones who are part of the traditional generation, born 1920 to 1945. These also are loyal and patriotic, but they believe in saving for a rainy day. They are individuals who recognize that you don't need immediate gratification, so they are involved in delayed gratification. They can wait. You tend to be conformist in your outlook. That's the traditional generation. Then there is the baby boomers, the idealists, born from 1946 to 1964. Now, these vary depending on which one you're reading. Born in an era of optimism, arrogance, and affluence, the parents of baby boomers read Dr. Spock, watched Father Knows Best, I Love Lucy, Leave It to Beaver. These individuals are idealistic, competitive, and want to leave their mark. Then from 1965 to 1980, you have Generation X, or what some call the reactive generation. They grew up with a sense of rejection and alienation. Some of the parents in this generation have divorced. So Generation X is that group that has skepticism, disillusionment. Yet they are competent. And they're the kinds who demand that their work and their life have balance. Then you have the millennial group. This is the group from 1982 to 2003. You hear more about this group than any group, being coddled, spoiled, raised with delicate and conscientious hands. This is the group who grew up surfing the internet and told that they were special and that they can achieve anything. And then you have that group called Generation Z. Most of our teenagers are in this group. The one place where all these generations come together is the church. In every congregation that comes together to worship, in the group, all of these generations exist or present. Moses was right when he said, and I think this is interesting because it's so important that though we have these various generations, the Lord hath been our dwelling place in all generations. So regardless of what generation you find yourself, God has been our refuge. God has been our dwelling place. I want to use for a subject for just about 15 minutes. When generations come together, when generations come together, it is my desire, first of all, as I have, raise awareness that we are presently a multi-generational church. And I believe that this is what God intended. Well, we can talk about making sure that we pass our faith to future generations. But what about presently? How do we interact with one another through our faith? First thing that we need to recognize is that in the midst of every congregation, there are multiple generations that have various characteristics, which means that there are multiple opinions, various values. The thinking does not always run the same track. Another reason that I want to bring this to our attention is to develop appreciation for the diversity that we find in all of the generations that are gathered here this morning. But then I'm hoping that through your awareness and your appreciation, that all of us will strive for synergy, which means that from the various generations that are gathered, we will seek to become a whole by putting more emphasis on those things that we have in common than those things that we differ in. When we talk about coming together generationally, I am hoping that all of us will find that by us working together is greater than us working individually or generationally. We must all come together because God intended for us to come together. May I illustrate that this is God's purpose for the generations to come together. First of all, the Great Commission. Listen to what it says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You know it. Go ye therefore and teach what? All nations, baptizing them. The summons from God is, go and teach all nations. But then the call becomes even more specific. In Mark 16, he says, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel does not go to just one generation. The gospel call is to every generation. And every generation, many times, will hear the gospel call together. Sometimes grandfather, father, and the grandchildren are together. They're not always together when it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But the one time that the generations come together and sit together is in the house of God. And somehow I believe that God knew that the church was important to bring all the generations together at one time, that they may be able to be instructed of him at the same time. You and I need to also understand that God is pleased with multiple generations coming together in this one body. Why? Because he called them. Sometimes a young child will obey the gospel. Then there are times that a middle-aged man may obey the gospel. Then there are times that an elderly person may obey the gospel. But all of that happens right here in this body, and they're called together in order that they may be able to worship together. That child and that middle-aged and that older person, they are brought into this one body. And you and I need to understand the uniqueness of that. Be aware of the fact, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, I know this speaks in terms of spiritual gifts, but the principle is the same. For as the body is one and hath many members, may I help you to see, for as the body is one and hath multiple generations, and all the generations of that one body, being many or being multiple, God says is one body. So, Brother Gibbs, what is it that you want us to learn from the divine call of the generation? And that is that when you come into the body of Christ, understand that you are in the midst of those who may not always see things the way or you have seen them or the way that you do see them. Because there are multiple generations that are here. And we all come together for the body is not one generation, but many. Am not of the body. Well, he says, if the boomers say, well, I think the church ought to go this way. Well, the boomers need to understand. Baby boomers, you need to understand that you got Generation X sitting here. And they have a different opinion about the way they think things ought to go. Then you got the millennials sitting here. And the millennials who've been coddled and spoiled, they feel like, well, anyway, you just got to be aware of the fact. I think we as leaders have to be also cognizant of the fact that multiple generations are coming here and have been called into the body, and we are one body in this place called the church. And the good thing about it is that Paul is trying to show, as he speaks concerning spiritual gifts And I think it's applicable to generations, that no generation can do without the other generation. And I don't believe that we ought to move the church or set the standard for the church to fit one generation. Now, I just said something right there, and you don't want to accept it right there, but I think I'm on solid ground. Someone said, well, do you understand the age in which we live? Yes, I understand the age in which we live. I understand that, but I'm talking about the Lord's body. The Lord's body is not one generation. There's a whole lot of implications to what I just said. So many times we say, well, we need to reset the church. Well, anyway, you got my point. Number two, not only all these generations, that's the awareness that all of us are here, and I think that we all need to leave here knowing that the baby boomers need the traditionalists, and the traditionalists need the millennials, and the millennials need the X's. We all need one another. And that's the beautiful thing about all of us coming together. It's because we all bring our strengths. And that's what God intends for the church to exemplify, multi-generational. And so when you, I want to make application. But what I'm seeing in the Lord's church is that instead of us embracing the multiple generation, sometimes we sacrifice the other generation to go after one generation. Now. All right, point number two. May I just go on and say what I'm going to say? You know. Well, number two. The point that I need to get across is that when you come into the body of Christ, and we are multiple generations coming into Christ, here's what the Bible says: for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So all of us come into the one body. Now this says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, I would like to say whether we be boomers or X's or millennials, whether we be bond or free, multiracial, whether we are varying in professions, we have all been made to drink in one Spirit. Now here's the beautiful thing about it. Regardless of your generation, God has fixed it where all generations now are being transformed into His spiritual generation. In other words, I'm going to take where you've come from and what you are, what you have as your particular characteristic, but I have a higher calling. Which means that no longer should you focus on the fact that I am Generation X. God wants us to understand that there's a brand new generation that God is calling us to. And in the church, nowhere else but in the church can this happen. I want you to see that we need the church today. Because the church is the place where God does the transforming, where God brings the different groups together and makes them into one. And He does it by us all drinking from the same Spirit. We must all eat the same meal and drink from the same cup. And that's why we learn from Him. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible said, for this reason, we have not stopped praying for you since the day we heard about you. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will In other words, when you come into the body of Christ, you come into the body of Christ to learn of his will. The millennials must come in and say, what is his will? The traditionalists, when they come in, what is his will? The baby boomers, when they come in, what is his will? And if we're all drinking from the same spirit, then this is where synergy begins to take place. This is where we begin to be able to make from all of the parts a whole. And when all of us are able to understand that it's not about where I came from and what I like and what I feel, but it's what about what is God's will, then I believe that the church is able to move beyond our differences and now coalesce around those things that are God's. And that's what makes the church so unique. And that's why I don't think you should ever think that the church is irrelevant. The church is never irrelevant. The church is always important because this is God's melting pot. God fixes it where the young people can work with the older people, and the older people can work with the middle age, and the middle age can work with the old and the young. And all of us with our differences, and all of us with our different background, all of us with our different desires and expectations can come together and raise it higher than where we are to what is that God wants in our lives. And then may I say to us that that's what God is transforming us into. And that is into the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And all of us must come together generationally. And that means that the faith doesn't just move down our line, but our faith moves among one another. The faith of the young people can teach you a lot. One thing that I know young people do that maybe some of us traditionalists can learn. Have you ever listened to them pray? Man, they get to the point. They don't have no long, drawn-out prayers. Man, I just thought I'd give you an example. That was strictly an example. I am not suggesting that we need short prayers. I am not. I just wanted to show you the difference between young people and the older people. You know, they drop all the thous and the, you know, they get right to the point. All right. As I close, not only is it a divine call of all generations to come together, and not only is it a transformational thing that's going on among us where all of the different generations are focusing in on God and becoming what God wants us to be, and that is one body, that one church. But here's the challenge. The challenge is, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1 through 8, and this is what we have to learn to do. And that is, Paul said, I, a prisoner of the Lord, encourage you to live the kind of life, and I'm coming from the God's Word translation, live the kind of life that proves that God has called you. Be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other, loving, accepting each other. Through the peace that ties you together, do your best to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice what he says. There are three things that we're going to have to learn to do as we become this, as we realize and become aware and understand what God is doing. We're going to have to do this with one another. We're going to have lowliness and meekness. And that is putting Christ first, making others second, and ourselves last. Now that's lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that's the mind of Christ. We should never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, Romans 12, verse number 3. So the lowliness of mind is very important as the generations come together. And this idea of meekness, this is power under control. Someone said this is like a soothing medicine. It's like a soft wind. It's like a horse that has been broken. As you recognize the differences, and I realize that we can somehow let friction come between us, but here's what God is calling us to do, and that is to be meek. In other words, power under control. You don't always have to exercise your right. Meekness has to be seen among us all. And then long-suffering. And that is the ability to endure discomfort. And I recognize that even with my... I know I'm a little over... When my grandchildren come in, and I'm watching CNN, I have one grandson that's not here that will come in and just pick up the remote and change it. To Nickelodeon or Disney Channel. And I say, boy, didn't you see me watching television? Did you ask? Now, this is where awareness comes in play. Awareness. And I had to say to myself, am I going to scold him? I could have. And I did at first, but I had to think about it. And I said, if I want him to keep coming to my house and feeling like I want to be around Paw, I'm going to have to let that boy watch Nickelodeon instead of me watching CNN. So when he comes in, I already expect. I say, here's the remote. Hey, man. Hey, do your thing, brother. All right. And then I sit there and watch it with him. And I say, what is that? Explain that to me. Well, what were you doing? I'm learning that there are generational. And I understand that. And so I have to be meek. I have to be. Long suffering. I find myself. Yeah, what I find myself doing. Instead of me, making out a menu when they come to visit me, I don't make out a menu that I want. I ask them, I say, baby, what do y'all want? Tell Papa what you want. And I go buy whatever it is they want. You know why? Because what I'm interested in, I understand that we have to coexist. We are here together. And if I'm going to be able to transfer my faith, I got to learn how to get along. Forbearance, bearing with one another. Now, I recognize, and I know my time is gone, but let me tell you something about the younger generation. The younger generation loves for the song service to be exciting. They don't like, well, let me say this, not all of them. Some of them don't really get tuned in to my God is real. But this is where young people have to understand that they are not the only ones in the body. We cannot turn the church over to the way you like to hear it. And then sometimes, in other words, sometimes you have to mix it up. Well, they just need to learn. No, we need to understand if we're going to transfer faith, we're going to have to become. And I'm just saying, in the midst of us moving from generation to generation, we have to understand we are multi-generational. And then there are some things that we're going to have to learn. Okay, what is it that Z And we do a good job of it here because our young people work together, and they do that. But when you go different places, you're going to find that people do things differently. The more I travel, they ask me to come, and I know my time is gone. But the more they ask me to come, I almost have to start asking now, do y'all do this and do y'all do that? Now, if I start that, now listen to me well. Once I start that, then what I do is I put myself in a situation where I'm not able to be relevant. I have to understand the multi-generational. And once I understand it and I go in, I don't have to become like them to act like them. I mean, I just let them know, hey, I just don't do that. I mean, that doesn't turn me on. But then when you get to the point where you're talking about, well, this is the way you got to do it. Now, y'all can get quiet on me if you want to, but I'm going to tell the truth like I want to tell it, like I need to tell it. Because we are in a generation that if we are not understanding what we are all up against, we are going to lose our ability. And I don't mind letting people know where I go. This is me. And I don't change just because I need to try to get along. But I am understanding that when things start crossing over into being unscriptural, now that's a whole nother line. If we're going to transfer our faith from generation to generation, we're going to have to become more sensitive to the times in which we live, knowing and understanding it's a generational thing. Now, this is what I have found, that generations start repeating themselves. The traditionalists are going to eventually, I'm talking about the Generation Z, all these young people that we see up here, the teenagers who weren't born during 9/11, they don't even know what 9/11 is. Unless, you know, you go to the news and they tell you what it is, they're going to be the ones to reset the dial. Look at what's happening across the schools when they recognize that what's happening in Washington is not right. They say, just wait until we can vote. And they saying, we're going to vote you out. This generation Z is just trying to live. We want to go to school and not have to worry about somebody bringing in a gun. Now, if you can't pass legislation to do it, then we'll vote you out when we do get there. Now, that's the generation we're looking for. I know. I don't know how this lesson went over. I don't know. But I'm at the age now that if y'all put me out, then I just, that's okay with me. That's okay with me. Because I just believe that God has put me here to help lead his people. And I'm here to try to help us navigate through the times in which we live. So God bless you. If you have any questions, don't ask anybody but me, because I preached it. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? All right, good. If you are here and you're visiting with us, we love you and we appreciate you being here. We are a church who's trying to make a difference. We want to make a difference in the world in which we live, but we want to do it the way the Lord has asked us to do it, which means that we're going to have to take on his characteristics to come into a world that is focused in the wrong way, set the wrong way, but do what he has asked us to do to bring us all together to lead us to the great God who made us. So if you're here and you want that kind of place where you can work out your own soul salvation, I invite you to become a part of what we're doing here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. We want to stay relevant to what God has asked us to do. And we also want to stay faithful to the word of Almighty God. And so we invite you to come. You come to Christ and be a part of his church by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you do that, he'll put you in Christ, and you'll also be in the Lord's church. You don't vote your way in. Amen. You have to be added by the Lord. And if you're straight away from God, will you rededicate your life? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?